Well, if you would, let's turn to the Gospel of John now. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first four books, all of them little mini biographies, you might say, of Jesus. For those of you who have gone through the Christianity Explored class or are going through that, you're going through one of those Gospels, as you know, the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of John is another one, another biography, we might say. It begins in a different place, says things in a slightly different way, but all to help us understand and see more of who Jesus is and who we are in him. So my sermon this morning is going to focus particularly on verses 6 through 9, but I'll go ahead and begin reading at the beginning again. Well, as Isaiah says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's give our attention to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, and who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You may be seated. To remind you a little bit about what we spoke of last time in the first few verses, we had this. We focused our attention on this amazing way in which John speaks. When he says that he was in the beginning. He was in the beginning. And John is saying things in a way that is understandable, but really only to a point, because how do you understand what was before the beginning? It's something that is really hard to wrap your minds around. Chrysostom, a 4th century theologian residing in modern-day Turkey, puts it like this: finding then that the was in the text exceeds imagination, the intellect has no point on which to focus its thought. Looking intently onward, but being unable to fix its gaze, it becomes wearied and turns back to things below. How do you think about before the beginning? That's what Chrysostom is wrestling with. Continuing, he says, indeed, this expression was in the beginning is expressive of eternal and infinite being. Again, how do you get your mind around eternal and infinite being? Well, you don't, as a finite creature. It's really impossible. And yet, how true it is. What we can understand of it, though we can't comprehensively sort of grasp it and master it, it tells us that Jesus, as John explicitly says, was God and is God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so in all of these things, John is introducing us to this one who then comes into the world, Who is Jesus? Right? That's a question, as a Christian, you should be able to answer. Who is Jesus? Because this is the one you follow. This is the one who has saved you. And if you're not a Christian, if you're thinking about Christianity, exploring it, wondering about it, then this is an essential question too. Who is Jesus? That's what John is telling us here. He's telling us who Jesus is. And he begins by telling us that he was in the beginning. That he was even before the creation of time and space, existing eternally as the Son of God. The purpose of this knowledge, to know who this Jesus is given explicitly to us at the end of this gospel. And I'm going to refer to this a lot as I preach through John, because it's the purpose, right? It's John's own saying, this is why I'm telling you this, and it's important that you remember. So in John 20, verses 30 and 31, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Isn't that excellent? John is telling you these things so that you would believe them and have life by believing in him. That's why he tells us these things. The wonder that we have, the amazement that we have, the humility that pours over us when we think about this infinite and eternal God who has become a man in order to save us. It's all for this purpose, that we might believe and have life in his name. That's how John ends his book. And it's how he starts as well. Notice what he says. He says, he was the life and the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light who was from the beginning has come into the world so that we can have the very light and life of God. We all like life, right? We don't like being sick. We don't like being frustrated in the things that we do or try to accomplish. In Jesus, we have life, not just the life of this world, but eternal life, perfect life, powerful life, a light that shines in the darkness and is not overcome. Life that comes and causes people to rise from the dead and never die again. Do you see darkness in the world? Do you see places where sin is present? Of course you do. You see it in your homes, in your neighborhoods, darkness that's in your hearts, darkness that you hate, darkness that hates the light, flees the light, darkness that hides, darkness that covers, darkness that protects the devil rather than putting him to open shame in the brightness of the sun. Well, my friends, to know Jesus is to know the light that overcomes the darkness, a light that shines in the darkness, overpowers the darkness, uncovers the darkness, puts away the darkness, and not just for a little bit of time, forever. Jesus comes into the world, he brings light into the world, as John puts it, to open everything up, to banish it forever. Listen to the words in Revelation 21:23 about the heavenly city that we will enjoy when Jesus returns. He says, "And the city has no need of a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Revelation 22:5 says a similar thing, "And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will shine forever and ever." What an amazing thing to consider. Jesus, in other words, we are learning from this, was the light before the beginning, and he will be our light even after the end. This is he who has come into the world. And so John introduces us to Jesus as the light in verses 1 through 5. And then in verse 6, he comes to someone new, a man named John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is a different John than the one who wrote the gospel. John, the evangelist, we'll call him, the gospel writer, is introducing to us another John, right? So this is one John saying, hi, this is my friend, John. Right? So don't get too confused. We have John the evangelist who's writing the gospel, and he's telling us now about a man we'll call John the Baptist, because he baptized Jesus and other people. Now, John's story is important for a lot of reasons, which we won't all get into now, except for this one that John the Evangelist highlights about John the Baptist. And what we learn about John the Baptist is this. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. Right? So this was John's job. And in fact, in that way, he had a similar job to John the Evangelist, and really a similar job that you have too. What is it? We're witnesses. We're pointers. We are not the light. We are not the lamp of God, right? We are the ones pointing to him, witnessing to him, telling about him. He came as a witness to bear witness, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Why? That all might believe through him, right? It's that same thing. And here we have this great reminder in the person of John about what God does in the world as the light. What do I mean? Well, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And one day, the darkness will be entirely banished. But right now, we live in this period of time in which there obviously still is much darkness, and yet the Son of God is shining. How? Well, in part, through people like John, and people like you, this church. We read this a description about John here, but later on we will be told in John chapter 5 this. John 5, 33 through 35. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony I receive is from man, but I say these things, again, so that you may be saved. And then Jesus says this about John. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. So which is it? Was John the Baptist not the light or the light? Well, John the evangelist is obviously not confused about this. What is he saying? John certainly did shine, but he shone like the sun shines on a mirror. If you're driving, right, you know, and a certain time of day happens and the sun catches a side view mirror, what does it do when it hits your eyes? Blinds you, right? Totally blinds you. That mirror is so bright that you cannot see. It affects your driving. It throws you off the road. It's terrible, right? But is the mirror the light? Yes and no, right? It's not really the light. It's reflecting the light, and yet that mirror is shining. It's shining very brightly, brightly enough to blind. And this is what Jesus is saying about John. On the one hand, he was not the light, definitely not the light. The mirror is not the sun. Two totally different things, right? A little piece of glass, an enormous star. And yet, they are related in such a way that John was shining. And they are related in this way, as John reflected the sun. And this happens for us and our church and each one of you as individuals. As the light of God comes into the world and banishes darkness in your heart, he sets you aflame. He makes you a burning light. The light of Christ, in other words, can be seen in us. This is why Jesus talks about us as being a city set on a hill. When you put a city on a hill, it shines everywhere. And this is what Jesus has done. He's both the hill and the light in that example. The question then is, how do we get to be the light? Right? How does someone like John happen? How do you receive the light of God in such a way that you can shine brightly for him and in him and be a part of this heavenly city and this victorious kingdom which is coming into the world and overcoming the darkness? Well, John tells us. He says in verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, or not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nor of God." What does this mean? It means that your salvation, your shining, if I might put it that way, is set in him. It means that even as your the light with a capital L, maybe I should do it this way. There you go. Even as capital L, Jesus, light, came into the world, even if he was before the beginning, so was your salvation. Why? Because it was according to the will of God. That's what he says. You were born not of blood. In other words, your salvation, your being born as a child of God did not happen because your parents brought you forth, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God and his will. Paul says in Titus 1:1-2, he writes to Titus for this reason, "For the sake of the faith of God's elect that and their knowledge of the truth, which accords to godliness, in hope of the eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ, who was before the beginning, that is in whom your salvation rests. Therefore, your salvation rests, as he says, before the beginning. God, who never lies, has promised it before the ages began. And he continues, "And at the proper time, manifested in his word through the preaching which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior." Are you following all this? In the will of God, before all time, before ages began, God decided that you would be born of him. And that birth happened because Jesus Christ came into the world, and then men like John and Paul and many others are then been preaching this word. That word is manifested, it is made clear in such a way that it is saving and causes us to be born. Sidebar. This is why we emphasize preaching in the Reformed faith. This is why we put so much emphasis on this as one of the means of grace. Because this is where God is manifesting himself. That's what he says. Those who believe through hearing, and hearing that is preached, the word of God that is made manifest in this way. He says to the Ephesians, that is, Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 4-5, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him. In love he predestined us for adoption," there's that son language, right, "to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the will of man," No. According to the blood genealogies? No. Why? According to the purpose of his will. This is what God has done, and this is why we are here. This also, and I'll say this as we conclude, gets us to all kinds of applications about how we live our lives, about where we find our salvation, even about the mission that we are on. We are coming up here on our 5th anniversary as an organized and particular church. 10 years before that, we started as a little Bible study in somebody's living room. Jesus tells us this mission. He tells us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. How do we do that? Why do we do that? Listen, how does it relate to who Jesus is and his mission in the world to bring light and life? Listen to these words in 2 Timothy 1:8 through 9. Paul says to Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." Right? This is what John is telling us, the testimony, the witness about the Lord. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose, because of his grace, which he gave us in Christ before the ages began." As I said, so many implications of this. But one of them is the way in which we live our lives in this world. We do not live as those who are ashamed of suffering, ashamed of weakness, are scared of the darkness, are scared of the evil one, or cower under temptation, or give up when it comes to the power of the flesh. No, we live bravely, confidently, strongly, and full of grace and salvation and light. Why? Because our salvation is not resting in our own attempts to secure something here. Our salvation is not resting in our power to enlighten ourselves. Our salvation is resting in God, in his will, in his ways, and in Jesus, who was before the beginning and yet has come into the world in time and in space, even to die, so that you might be saved. This means as a church, we can be bold about telling people this good news. John the Baptist was eventually beheaded because of his testimony, as have many other Christians been, and other things too. That, of course, would be terrifying and would require a lot of prayer and faith on my part, at least. Nevertheless, we know that the Lord has us. We know that even our weakness is known by him, that the darkness in our hearts is known by him, that the sins in our lives is known by him, and we are being saved. Saved unto light, saved unto life. We can give praise to God for this. We can believe him and have life in his name. And we can also be in the world, be in our neighborhood, in our families, in our lives, and shine very, very brightly. May God enable us to do that. Let's pray.